we have this beautiful gospel to reflect its own the transfiguration. Now we read it, if he's a Jewish reader, you will be thrilled, because in typical Jewish theophanies, which is the revelation of God that happens, so one of the examples would be the revelation that happened to Moses, or God meeting Abraham. So in most of the revelations of God, or appearance of God in the scripture, there are certain elements present. There will be clouds, a voice from the cloud. There will be this thunderstorm, lightning. There is this beautiful light. So when we look at this gospel passage, it has got all the elements of a theophany or an appearance of God. It's got the cloud. It's got this anonymous voice coming from the cloud. It's got this, you know, very dramatic. The cloud, the pillars, the smoke comes, there is a fear involved, there is light. Jesus is like a lightning. Matthew says his clothes were so bright that none of the laundry men in the world cannot brighten like that. So that's what Matthew says, because it is his incapacity to describe how lightning like Jesus was, you know, how so much was bright Jesus was. So he's going that extent to say like that. And it is, for a Jewish reader, this is where God speaks, because it is on a mountain. Most of the theophanies, appearance of God, God brings everything on mountain. Look at Mount Moriah, Mount Sinai, where God meets Moses. Now Mount Tabor, because for Jewish people, mountain is the presence of God. All is good. So for a reader filled with richness, there is Moses and Elijah. What else you want? Moses, the pillar of the law. Elijah, the pillar of prophets. So you have law and prophecy, which is two fundamental, very quintessential part of Jewish tradition. This law and the prophecy. And both of these law and prophecy is coming and meeting Jesus. What more do you want? To say that Jesus is something very extraordinary person. Because even Moses and Elijah is being friends with him. And then there is a voice. Listen to him. He's the chosen one. And so Peter and John and James are thrilled. Their master, their guru, is caught up in this beautiful thing, and we are witness to it. For them, this is a dream come true. They saw Moses face to face according to the gospel. They saw Elijah face to face. They heard the voice. For them, this is a one lifetime chance to witness a theophany. To see the guru's face is something else. He's no more a carpenter's son. He is no more this magician. He is no more this healer. But he is something more. He is the Son of God. And Peter, John, James witness it with their own eyes. And that is the reason the gospel writers say, Peter and his companions were heavy with sleep, but they kept awake and saw his glory. I feel pity for them. I feel pity for them. Why? They were so heavy with sleep, but they struggled. They pushed themselves to be awake because they want to see this glory. Because they think one day we will be part of this glory. I want to invite you to some other scenes in the gospel. I want to take you to Gethsemane. Gethsemane, this poor Jesus, Son of God, the miracle worker, the healer, is burdened underneath the sins of the world. He is facing the cross. He is disturbed in his heart, asked to choose whether the cross or running away from the cross. No one is with him. The people said, Hosanna, left him. His own disciple will betray him. This Jesus is faced with turmoil, faced with tension and conflicts within himself, rejected by everyone, taking Peter, James and John, so much stressed, anxious, he'd take them to get some and what they did, they fell asleep. They fell asleep in the Mount Tabor, in the glorious Jesus, where Moses comes, Elijah comes, there is thunderstorm, there is cloud, he is the chosen one, all the beautiful things, he is the miracle worker, Jesus is exalted. They struggle themselves to keep awake to see their glory. But in the most difficult, painful and sorrowful time of Jesus, they fell asleep. There is no mention they were heavy with sleep and they struggled to keep awake. It says they were heavy with sleep and they fell asleep. That is us, isn't it? That is us. We want to see the glory. We want to see the nice things in life. We don't want to hear about the cross. Jesus took Peter, John, and James after 8 days of this happened. What was happened before 8 days? Jesus told them about the cross. Jesus told them like this, "Who do you say that I am?" They said, "You are the Son of God." "Of course, I will be rejected. I will be neglected by everyone. I will end up on the cross." That is what they said. He said to the disciples. And disciples didn't want to hear it. Peter said, "Oh, that let it not happen to you." They didn't want to hear it. But they wanted to see Jesus glorious. You know what Jesus did? And they wanted to experience it for a whole time because they wanted to make a tent. You know what Jesus said? He stepped down from this experience and walked with them to the valley. To the valley to be crucified. To be crucified. It was important for Jesus to experience this identity with God, that he is the Son of God. But he will never look for just feelings in spirituality. Of course, it is important that we have experience. Some people come to church, "Father, I don't feel anything when I praise." Some people are pumped up. One day they preach, praise the Lord. Next day they sit in the corner. I don't want to praise God. They don't feel like it. It's all about feelings, huh? Sometimes in the church. It's all about feeling. In my life too. Sometimes I think, I don't want to preach. Now I feel good because my mom called me. She sent me good news. Now I want to preach happy. It's all about feelings, isn't it? Oh, Australia won the Rugby Cup. I'm going to the 7 p.m. Mass. I will be like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We lost it." You come to the Mass, you're grumpy. Our spiritual expressions, our motivations, our relationships, sometimes depending upon feelings. Feelings. And that is what St. Paul says. St. Paul says like this, "Your belly is your God." Now, what is this belly? It is the god of Clopas. In Greek mythology, there's a person called Clopas. He's got only one eye. What happened to the other eye? He wanted to see the future, so he traded one eye with a god. So he saw the future. What did he see? Death. He saw the future, that is death. He traded one eye. He became a one-eyed person, Clopas. And he decided, "Because I see the future, and that is only death, I am going to live my life for my belly." He started to eat. Enjoyed everything. He was the person of violence and force in Greek mythology. Why? He saw the future, and the future was mere death. And he decided, I am going to worship my belly. And that is the background. Saint Paul says, "Your belly is your God." For Clopas, his whole purpose was his belly. Your belly. Now, some people, their God is their mind. They want to read and read. Their heart, they fall in love everywhere. Wherever they go, they fall in love. Their heart. For some people, it is the belly. What is belly? There is no lasting capacity. You eat, give it 4 hours or 5 hours. If it is really hot food, straight away it will go. So belly, There's pure materialistic things in life. Pure materialistic. It's all about how I feel now, what I want now. And St. Paul is really criticizing it. And he says, we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. How many of us are able to proudly say, I'm going to heaven? Maybe you look beautiful now. If you're 20, I give you 60 years. You will be dead by then. I give myself 44 years. I'm 31. Maybe 75, 80. Not maximum 50 years I give myself. It will be hell anyway. 50 years I give. I will die. All this nice skin will wrinkle. There will be I can barely speak. My voice will go. Maybe arthritis will get into my hands. I cannot hold things. This body we see will perish. There is a story of Alexander the Great. He said to the people, when I die, you have to do these things. You have to put my hands out of the coffin. And you have to throw all the pearls and golds from my palace to the cemetery. And then you have to get the best fishiest doctors in the world to carry my coffin. And they asked, why? And they said, I did everything. I conquered the world. Amassed wealth. Now when I go, I am take nothing. So my hand should be out of my coffin. I got all the golds and jewels from the world. So when I go, I wanted the people to see that it is being thrown out from my palace to the cemetery I'm not taking. And I wanted to see the best doctors have to carry my body because I wanted to tell the world that even the best doctors were not able to stop me from dying. One thing, Clopas is right. One thing that we can see in our future is this. Die. We will die. You and me will die. Doesn't matter if you're wearing $300 watch in your coffin. You won't be able to check your time. Doesn't matter you are wearing Lauren Raffle, oh my goodness, any signature clothes. Even if it is Big W $10 white shirts, or when it is $200 suits you are wearing in the coffin, nothing will matter to you. You and me will die. And what happens to us when we see our end is a death, we will become Clopas-like. Do we want to be like Clopas? One-eyed persons can only see one way, can only think one way, can only think about belly. What can I get? How can I get? Where can I feel? How can I feel? If that is only the weird thing, we'll be like Clopas. And St. Paul will tell us, your God is your belly and your glory is your shame. Your God is your belly and your glory is the shame. Is our God our belly? If we put our faith and our trust in this world, that's it. We are done. We become enemies of the cross. That was the challenge of the disciples. They couldn't accept the Christ who suffered in the Gethsemane. They couldn't accept the Christ said, I will be rejected and I will be done. Because they couldn't accept the fact the cross, the suffering is in this world. Why? They didn't get the glimpse of glory. There is a glimpse of glory. I believe heaven is like an amphitheater where we all go and sit. And those who are sinners will get the first place. Those who are saints and holy people will get the back place. And what we do, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every half an hour, we will get a break. This is heaven. And if we have that image of heaven, that we will be with Jesus, then this life makes more sense. The sufferings makes more sense. The cancer patient in my family makes more sense because he's going home to the Father. I will pray for healing, but I will be happy in the sufferings in this world. And that is why Jesus walked down to the valley. He was not afraid to go to the cross because he had this glimpse at Mount Tabor. And he heard, you are my beloved son, the chosen one. He saw Moses face to face. He saw Elijah face to face. He heard the Father's voice over and over again. That's why even on the cross, he never doubted. Will I die and perish? He always knew, I will be with the Father. Where is our faith stands?
failed us, our hope takes us. It's only to the tomb. Then, what a pathetic life. Our faith in God does not belong here. Our faith in God is not for a bigger house. Our faith in God is not for a beautiful husband or a wife. Our faith in God is not for a beautiful career. Our faith in God is for to go through this life and be with Him and see His face and praise Him. That is our life. And when we have that eternal perspective in our life, every struggle, every trial, we will face with the courage, and one day we will be with God. Thou was the faith of God. There is three centers in our body: head, heart, and they say guts. Head is intellectual capacity. Heart is about feeling. Some people say the gut is about faith. That nothing can shake it. Nothing can. Even the apparent darkness that we don't, God doesn't exist, nothing can shake it. Even it believes above impossible things. May this celebration of the Eucharist root our faith strong in Jesus, strong in the Father's company. That we don't live just for this life. In 50 years' time, some of these people will not be here to celebrate Mass. I won't be here to, I will guarantee one, Father Ken will not be here to celebrate Mass. 50 years' time. So, we will all die. We will all see each other in heaven. You and me will see each other in heaven. We live for heaven. So let us act like that. The simple sufferings in this world, the petty issues in this world, the relationship issues, the gossip issues, nothing matters because we have bigger things. We forgive everyone because we want to reach heaven. We want to take people with us. We want to bring joy. We want to bring and live for the Lord because we have only a short life. May our faith be rooted in eternal life, eternal perspective. We are called into Him. May He find us worthy to receive into Himself. Bless His name. Amen.